Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Tonight's a really special show. We're combining love with music, and we have a really great guest tonight. Her name is Lisa Fodera, and she's from the band Blue Movie. They have a new album out. I love the title, 8mm Love Songs. And Nicole, I think maybe you could tell us a little bit more about Lisa, since she's a friend of yours. And I think you manage her as well or something. Isn't she in your I think there's a business arrangement here.
Yes, there is. Actually, in addition to everything else that I do, I opened up yet another company called NSN Productions. And actually, it's kind of funny because I know Lisa through my girlfriend. And, you know, we had gone to a couple of Lisa's shows when, you know, she was in other bands and this and that. And, you know, when I wanted to break into, like, entertainment and everything, you know, my girlfriend was just kind of like, well, why don't you do music or whatever, because I know that Lisa can use a little bit of help. So, you know, we met up several times and, you know, we had a couple of conversations about it. And then I met the band, and then, you know, it was something that we all went into, you know, with a clear mind. We're like, okay, fine, let's see if we can make this happen. So I've actually been working with Blue Movie for quite a while now. And, you know, we're still trying to get them, you know, management and stuff like that and everything. But right now I'm representing them. And, you know, they're a very, very talented group of people. And I definitely, I'm very, very happy to have Lisa here with us tonight.
Wow. Now, Lisa, I'm curious if your love life's played any part in the music you created, because it is about love songs and about love. So is this personal, any of these songs?
Absolutely. This was my therapy for having so much to say. And, you know, when you're not in certain relationships anymore, you know, sometimes the smartest thing to do is not to call people up directly who you haven't spoken to and tell them how you feel. So through music, that's how I was able to get that out without having to do any direct damage.
Wow, wonderful. And, you know, I wrote my book.
I like how you put that, direct damage.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, you know, sometimes it's not a love story. It's more of a war story with some relationships. So I know Grant Me a Higher Love was an outpouring of what do you do with all these feelings and all that you're learning. And, you know, I am a firm believer in all this pain can't be for nothing. We must have to learn something. And if we can share that learning with other people, we maybe will save them some of the agony, or perhaps they'll just feel a kinship with other people. Like, they're not the only person who's been hurt or heart's been broken.
Definitely.
And Lisa, what's your favorite song on the album?
Wow, I'm pretty partial to all of them, because all of them deal with a little bit of me and a different aspect of how I've viewed past relationships. But I think the one that really, really gets me and really tells the story is the first track on the album titled Murder Will Out.
Murder Will Out?
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to hear some of that later, correct?
Yes, we will. But it's not, it's the first thing that I always try and preface to people is people get very taken back by the title, Murder Will Out. What kind of a weird title is that, and what does that mean? And it has nothing to do with actual murder. The term Murder Will Out is essentially a phrase meaning that the things you do eventually will catch up with you. And, you know, and that's things that I've experienced in my past relationships, things surfacing. So the whole song is pretty much a story. You know, it tells a story, which is pretty much the death of a relationship. And it's the death of nothing else. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, Murder Will Out, that it has nothing to do with anything but the death of a relationship.
And actually, I can't stress enough to the listeners out there, and anybody who's ever had a reading with me knows that I talk about the three pains that, you know, we never really get over. So the death of our own child, if we have that, the death of a beloved parent when we're young, the death of a soulmate, or the death of a soulmate relationship. It's really devastating, and we have to mourn the loss of a relationship. You know, most people just, you know, they just get out of one relationship and just instantly jump into something else. So they try to bypass the mourning process. And if you do that, you're just going to end up, you didn't learn from the last relationship. You didn't learn what responsibility you may have played in the ending of it. If you didn't play any part, that's even more devastating. But you still have to mourn for it. If you don't, it just catches up with us. So I think that's very important that you understand that an ending of a relationship is a death.
Right. I mean, that's essentially what it captures. And it's, you know, it's about, you know, people who are not going to be loyal and people who are going to, you know, try and be shiesty, for lack of a better phrase, behind your back. And, you know, I tried to compare the song to like an actual kind of, you know, I mean, when you hear the word murder, I'm sure it's you know, connotated with negative feelings, and it's, you know, it has a heavy, very heavy on the soul. And when you're in a relationship that you know is, you know, you're clearly aware of what's going on and in denial, it's in its own way, it's the same feeling.
Right, and that I always equate commitment phobics to the kind of people that they never look at the devastation they leave behind when they run. They're like the drunk driver on the LIE who's going 90 miles an hour, slams on brakes, and then drives off. Meanwhile, 10 car crashes behind him, and he doesn't see it. Because commitment phobics are the kind of people that do just run. And when, you know, people are hurt in love, it does feel like, you know, your soul's been murdered, you've been hurt. And, you know, we have to acknowledge that these are deep wounds. And, you know, the fact that you put it in music, and that's very important, because we can create from our pain. We don't have to destroy and become destructive. And any person who's lucky enough to be creative, that's a survival tool.
Right.
Well, I think we have we're going to take a caller, Nicole, and then Lisa, if you have any input on what you're hearing here, because I'm sure you've learned a lot in your love life. And, you know, you could share with people. And then in a little while, we're going to ask you what's going on in your own love life as well.
Okay, sure.
So, Nicole, let's jump
over to
our first
caller. All right, we're
going to
jump right into the first caller then, guys, okay? Just so they know, because, I don't screen the first call. We're going to jump into the 410 area code, and the last four digits are 2722. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello? Yep, we're here. This is Cindy, and who is this? Hello, are you on a cell phone maybe? Because we can't hear you.
Yeah, I don't know, Sin.
Okay.
All right, then we'll jump into somebody else.
Okay, because that's Maryland, I think, 410. So, okay. Let's jump over to 510. I think that's California.
All right, we're going to go to the 510 area code now.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air?
Hi, this is Rachel, and I'm calling from California. And I'm calling regarding a gentleman that I occasionally date. Over the years, I've dated him several times. But one thing is that I'm never invited to any family functions or any family gatherings or any family trips. I know he's very, very close to his mother, and I had met his mother many years ago. I was wondering if you can look at the dynamics between Dean and his mom, and how I don't, and you might see why I don't fit into this family.
Okay. Also, when we were just talking about commitment phobia in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, one of the signs of a person who's really afraid of commitment is they won't let you in their inner circle. They won't let you really be with their friends and family. They want to keep a part of themselves private and separate from you. So, you know, his mom is a rather judgmental woman also. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I think I recall that very much so.
And, you know, she has her, you know, standards. And meanwhile, her standard is she doesn't want her son to have anybody to love because she's in some ways a very narcissistic, manipulative woman who, you know, she's wondering who's going to take care of her when she dies. And she's got her own agenda here for him not committing. So, you know, he has his own fears of commitment, but the family certainly reinforces it. And it's not even so much that you wouldn't fit in there. You might not feel comfortable near them because, you know, the mother might not let you in. But there's other things going on there because he does tend to keep, you know, a lot of his life private from you. Are you aware of that?
Yes. I've known him for really about 25 years. He's
okay,
59.
Okay, let me stop you for 1 minute. 25 years. Nicole, how, you know, Nicole knows this. Relationships work in five-year cycles. You've just hit five-year cycles. And at this point, God is asking you, Rachel, do you deserve better than this?
I do. I do.
You do. You have a grandfather who passed away a while ago. And he, do you remember him at all?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And he's a man saying, I want you to love yourself the way I love you. This is not right. And, you know, in some ways he doesn't want to grow up and come to the plate. But, you know, you've been dating him a long time. You certainly belong coming to the family functions. Have you addressed that issue with him?
I have.
And what did he tell you?
He's speechless.
Again, commitment phobics are famous for silence. They are like cornered animals when we ask them a question, you know, and they just don't answer us. And, you know, oftentimes we don't even know when we're going to see them again or if or when. And he really is a major commitment phobic. I would address the fact that he's a classic commitment phobic. He really doesn't want to take it further. But you must be a closet one, which means why would you stay with a man this long who can't take it to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
And are you finally overcoming your own commitment phobia? Because it looks like you are. By asking me this question, you're starting to say, I want a man who's proud of me, who wants to show me off to his family. Isn't that the truth?
Well, I was married to my job for 16 years. And for this past year, I've been without. And I'm opening up my eyes to a lot of things.
Now, that's the important thing what you're saying is married to your job. People who work a lot, we oftentimes miss the boat because we're so busy just being busy that, you know, we don't have time to see things. And the universe was kind to you and took that job out from under you for a while so that you could start having some other priorities in your life.
Yes.
And are you wanting... You want more than this. Maybe he was good at the time because when you're married to your job, you need a man who is a commitment phobic because he's not asking you to marry him or you know, give him a lot of your time, you know. But now you're beginning to realize you want a meaningful work, but you also want a meaningful relationship, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I want someone to love and to be with and to grow old with. And I'm hoping I'm going to find it.
Well, that's also another thing. If anybody who's listened to our show, it may sound like I'm often saying the same things, but that's because we're not all that unique. And the universe sort of has patterns of behavior and patterns of trying to wake us up. One of the most convenient ones right now is take the job out from under us, make us have to get another job and meet some new people, and those new people will lead you to your soulmate, and maybe even one of those new people will be your soulmate. So look at it as a shakeup, and God wants you to come to the conclusion that you want a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be that kind of a soulmate. If it's the man you're with, so be it. I don't think it's going to be him. It's not a lack of love on his part, but he really doesn't want to grow up. In the future, you want a man, and put it down when you write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. You can have some of the traits of this man that you like. That he gave you some space, because you're obviously a woman who needs a little space. But you want one who will be proud of you, who want to let you in his inner circle. because that's very, very important. And I see you with a really good man in the future, and a man who's going to want to marry you and be generous. The man that you're with right now isn't particularly generous. Are you aware of that?
He's very, very wealthy, and he sometimes he's generous to me, but not all the time. And you're right, he could be a lot more giving than he is.
Right, and part of it is when you're dealing with very, very wealthy people, they don't they don't want to commit to a relationship because what if he marries you and it doesn't work out? You know, there's money issues and there's, you know, money brings its own set of worries. And, you know, with that, with his mom, that's part of the problem with her because she doesn't think, you know, you have enough money for him and that he should marry someone of the similar, you know, financial status, which, you know, in this day and age, you might find that hard to believe, but that thinking is very ingrained in people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you certainly want a man who considers you to be his equal. And,
right.
You know, and that you won't feel that you're like a second-class citizen.
Right.
And I see that happening for you. Just know that this is a time for you to really say, I want a good job. I don't want to be married to my job. I want a marriage. I want a relationship. I want a balanced life.
Mm-hmm.
And part of, you know, if you work a lot of hours, like Nicole and I do, we have to live with our lovers because I wouldn't have much time for my fiancé if he weren't sleeping with me every night and we have some time in the morning and at the end of the night. So, you know, people who work hard really do need a committed relationship and someone who shares their same space. It allows us to have, you know, intimacy without me having to drive to see him or, you know, make an arrangement for a date. So think about that in the future that you would want a man who would want to commit to you.
Okay. Great.
And good luck to you, and let us know what happens in your job search. And do you have another question?
No, you've covered it all.
Okay, and you're going to get a very good job, by the way, so relax.
You know what? Thank you for saying that, because I've been so uptight and depressed over the fact that I didn't have one, and I've been very scared.
And again, part of the problem is if we're really scared, after a while God says, okay, stop being a crybaby. I'll give you any crappy job just so you stop crying every night. Here, take this crappy job, and now you're going to stay in it for 20 years because you're loyal to a fault. Or you could wait 2 months till I bring you the job that's good and your soulmate's there. So he's saying to you, stop crying and belly aching. Just say, God, I know you have a job for me. I know it's good. I have patience. I'm doing my part to find that job. And you bring me a really good job, not just anything to shut me up right now because I'm whining. And, you know, that's how the universe works. If we're whining
Do you have an approximate time frame for that job?
It looks by the time the summer's over, your life is moving forward. So try to enjoy a little bit of the downtime because once you start working, your workaholic tendencies will kick in. So, you know, enjoy the downtime.
I will.
And good
thank
luck
you.
To you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Lisa, did you ever have with someone who was a workaholic and had no time for you, or was that ever in your...
Unfortunately, I'd have to say no. As in the past, I would have preferred people who, and again, these are previous mistakes that I've made, I would have preferred that people were more concentrated on the future and their career and what they were about. And, you know, so I hadn't had that experience in the past, but, you know, you can't be too much the other way either. And, but I, you know, in her situation, like, I think 25 years is a long time, and, that sounds like a lot of baggage. And I think that, I think in her situation, she's definitely going to find someone and be enlightened when she meets them.
Right, because, you know, you could hear in her voice she's taken some time to examine her life. And that's why sometimes God will take our job out from under us. You know, that's a wake-up call. And God's saying, you've got to wake up because you're going to wake up and be a 70-year-old lady living alone with your cats if you don't start moving your life forward. So, you know, God is really good and really patient with us. He waited 25 years to wake her up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Usually, I'm sure if she were to examine her life or anybody out there, our listeners would examine them. Every 5 years, God gives us a wake-up call.
Right. I have to say, it's very funny you say that, and I just got chills when you said that, because I have a direct relationship with that whole situation. I worked in an office what would have been 5 years in about a week or two, and the five-year mark rolled around in which I would have been getting more, more pay, more vacation time, and just as that
more
came
of what you didn't want.
Yeah, I got let go. And
uh-huh.
I was miserable to be there to begin with because I am not an office worker. I, tried to pay my bills during the day so that I could do my music by night. And being in the same situation for 5 years, I didn't like what I was doing. And it was a comfortable situation per se, so you think we are more prone to not break out of that when we're comfortable. And
exactly.
the minute my job let me go, it was like, my whole world changed. I've learned that, since then, my total focus is music, and this is where I've thrived within the last year. I've noticed, too, I was workaholic. I was working two jobs and doing music, and with the time off that I've had, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. I'm very, very family-oriented, and I'm so grateful right now to have my eyes opened up because I spend more time with them now than I ever did in the past 5 years.
And remember, they're not getting any younger, so you're
exactly.
going to have regrets if you didn't spend the time with them that you could have.
Exactly.
And for the
like
insight and the wisdom that they have to offer older people is incredible. And important, again, you weren't happy at that job. So sometimes God knows that, you've been raised by old values, which is if you have a job, you don't leave it. Be grateful. Be loyal to a fault, to a company, no matter what. Meanwhile, they weren't loyal to you. They're probably hiring somebody for, 10 cents less than you, and they let you go, no matter how good you're doing. So, pretty much I think you learned the lessons here.
Okay.
Every 5 years we usually have to examine where our life is going. So, you can start today for some of you out there who don't know which five-year cycle you're in, but, I have found no matter what, something shakes us up every 5 years. And, that's good. I'm glad that you left it. And this is a quantum leap of faith for you. And the universe appreciated that you as an artist had a day job while you were creating art. But there is a point where you need to make your art your full-time career. And I see that coming for you, Lisa, by the way.
Good.
That you're just about ready to fly with that. There's a little reading for Lisa here. You're about ready to fly and go. And it was the same thing with me when I was the children's entertainer. And I only stopped doing that 2 years ago. And, I was working like 7 days a week. And, that job had been putting food on the table for 35 years. I was self-employed all those years. It's not easy to let go of something that's put food on the table for 35 years, no matter what the economy did. But I took that leap of faith two years ago, just almost to the day now. And then the tarot just really took off, and, that became my living is what I'm doing now. So I did need to take that leap of faith.
Sure. I truly and highly believe in the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward.
Exactly. And, I have, I realized it was the right time, just as the universe gave you a little what I call cosmic kick in your ass and moved you forward.
Yep.
Now, did you want to play a little bit of The Murder, Will Out, Nicole?
Yeah, absolutely we will. Okay, Lisa, do you want to preface this, or do you think
sure.
that we got that covered?
Like I said before, it's pretty much, it's symbolism is what it is. It tells you a story of someone who's, committing a murder, but in reality, it's really about the death of a relationship, how someone is going out and doing things behind your back and, coming home and laying next to you like nothing ever happened. And, and you can see the deterioration of the relationship. And then by the end of the song, there's an uplifting for the person who has, who has been victimized, so to speak.
And isn't there another song out not too long ago where she says, "I don't want to be a murderer"? Do you know that song?
That was
Rihanna.
Yeah,
it's Rihanna.
Rihanna,
that,
right?
But that song, if you want to really
she's the murderer.
Mind, she was the murderer.
You're
yes,
the good
I,
girl.
Absolutely. Yeah? That's too
You're
funny.
The person she murdered. Okay, so let's hear this song.
All right,
I can't
guys.
Wait.
All right, we're going to now play Murder Will Out. Now, Cindy, I was having a little bit of difficulties here, so hopefully we can get this off without a hitch.
I know, because let me explain to our listeners. Blog Talk Radio has a new studio way of running our radio show, so, of course, there's always some...
Oh, and here we go.
Yeah,
Murder Will Out, guys, look. Wow.
That is such a powerful song. My goodness. Lisa, you play the drums on this? I'm not sure if I've lost everybody. You're playing the drums on this? Nicole, I think I lost you. Okay, I'm going to try to take a caller because I'm not sure what happened with Nicole, but I'm going to try to take a caller. Hello, you're on the air. It's Cindy.
Hi, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. And I know that you were calling us. And where are you calling from? I'm not sure what the 602
Arizona.
Is from.
Arizona.
Okay. Arizona. Okay. And did you have a specific question you wanted to share with us?
Well, I wanted to know whether you see my – I sell life insurance for a living for, like, 23 years. And because of the economy, it's really slow. So I have a couple of clients that might do their policies, and I was just seeing whether you see them doing that, you know, in the next couple of weeks or not.
Oh, good. Coming through. It's so funny. People think you're not going to need life insurance in a bad economy. I mean, don't you need it more?
you know, I have this one client that was selling. He builds custom houses for $18 million, and he put it up in the market in 2009, and it hasn't sold, and now it's selling for $8.7 million. So he's reduced it by $10 million, and he still can't sell it.
I know. I said it's starting to be frightening, certain aspects of things. And, you know, I keep telling people, you know, a lot of people out there do have money. They're just getting afraid to spend it. And I'm telling you, if you have money and you could afford to buy a house, go buy one now. It's a good time. You'll get a good deal. And, you know, the houses aren't going to go much lower at this point.
Right.
So, you know, get them in to do it. Because what's happening is it's not a lack of money on this planet. There's no shortage of money on this planet, nor is there a lack of work. It's just becoming so fear-based that if we all become so afraid we don't want to spend money, what's going to happen to the economy? But I see with you, try not to fret so much. It looks like you're really having a hard time with everything. And almost a little bit of depression in your cards. Are you starting to feel depressed over the situation?
No, I'm not really. I'm always an up type of person, so I don't usually get depressed.
Okay, it's just a little. Try not to get hopeless on the situation because it really looks pretty good in your cards in terms of you finally selling some of those policies. You know, just keep in the laws of attraction. We have to, you know, stop saying it's a bad economy because if we say it, then God says it must be true for you. So I won't bring you clients who want life insurance. So what you want to do is just start saying, you know, saying to yourself, you have a good product and there are clients who want my product. I just need God to send them my way because I see some, you know, you have a very good five-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours, including, you know, selling these insurance policies and making good money. And you are
okay.
A woman who's supposed to feel like at the end of your life you've accomplished everything you wanted. So,
right.
You know, you're a good salesperson, but again, try to just believe in your product and know that it's, you know, and come up with some slant why it's better to buy it now and it's important for people because it really is important. I do see one of the clients buying it sooner than the other. You have like three people you're trying to sell it to?
Well, I have a doctor and he's been putting me off since December. He's a doctor from India. And then I have Cheryl, who's basically in California right now, and I wanted to convert her policy to permanent because she's been a client for 14 years, and they're multimillionaires. So I know they can afford it.
That's what I'm saying. Can you see how even people with money are trying not to spend it? And that's a really bad thing in this economy. And, you know, anybody out there who's thinking about life insurance is probably a good thing. You know, it's definitely a good thing to buy. And, you know, my fiancé used to sell life insurance as well. And, you know, he had sold a policy to someone, a doctor also, who was reluctant at first to buy it. And he ended up, you know, dying, you know, pretty soon after that. So it was one of the best things he could have done. So, again, you know, these are things, you know, people really need to spend their money on. And I see you doing very well here. Just, you know, you have to be a little more aggressive. Are you trying to do that?
Well, I'm being, I mean, for the doctor, I actually went over to just sat in his office, and then he gave me 5 minutes, but that was like 2-3 months ago, and then I waited a month, and then I came towards the end of the day, and I thought he was busy with a client, but then he walks past me to go to the other office, and then he leaves like 10 minutes later, so I guess he's just not ready, even though he says, I want it, and so... Do you see the doctor doing it anytime soon, or Cheryl?
I see.
Have you told
him? You know, if anything happens to you, what's going to happen to your family? Have you tried him
now,
that?
No, this is really strange because you put me off for a whole year, and then December 2009, at the age of 54, he has a double bypass surgery. So most people, when they have bypass surgery, as soon as the year's over, because the first year you're declined, after the first year, he's the one who called me in 2009. He goes, I want it, you know? But then he hasn't ever done it. I've left the apps over there. He says, oh, I'm going to fax it to you, and that's been 3 months. I mean, I've done everything I can, because normally I don't go to people's offices and sit there and wait for them. You know, I always have an appointment. But I
right, but again, this is good. This is something that, you know, you have to keep it in mind that, you know, if he has another heart attack, he's not going to get any insurance, you know what I mean? So,
I know
you
that.
Know, this is about as good as it gets here. He's getting a second chance.
I mean,
how many people get
then
a second
and
chance?
And I called him like 2 weeks ago and he at the office and he doesn't return the phone calls. I mean, I don't know what more I can do. I keep calling every two, three weeks.
And I see, you know, you are going to be selling more policies. Things look better for you. Just don't get discouraged.
Well, how soon will things get better?
It looks, you know, in the next few months. You actually have a good 5-year plan opening up here. So it's just a little bit, even if you think you're upbeat, every time we say it's a bad economy, God says, okay, so that I'm not bringing you clients. So if you could... start saying there's no shortage of money on this planet and I have a good product to sell, the universe will hear that.
No, I meant it was a bad economy because my clients, one client that his policy lapsed a year and a half ago, he had a big lumber company, and since nobody's building houses, he had to force himself to do something else. So they're the ones who's hurting, and they're the ones who can't do the policies. My economy hasn't changed. It's the economy for other people.
Right, and again, there's still plenty of people with plenty of money, trust me. the stocks that did well last week was Tiffany. Now, somebody's making money, you know, so try to look at it as that, you know, there are plenty of people with money. God just needs to bring them your way, and you do have a good product to sell, and that's important.
I know, but I need to write something up in the next week or so I have some money in July.
All right, so tell God, you know, I need to write something in the next week, so bring me somebody who just is thinking, I need life insurance and I need it bad, and they call you. You know, have God guide some people to you. And also, there's something people don't realize. We have a right to be angry. You know, something that, you know, God is waiting for us to sometimes say, man, what's happening here? I need money. Give it to me. We don't always have to be so... you know, oh, it's okay, I'm gratitude for what I have. Sometimes we have a right to be angry. You're working hard. You have a right to be angry and say, God, bring me some people now. And it looks like that will happen for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Cindy.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for calling from Arizona.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Nicole, are you there now?
Yes,
because I know
back.
I lost
that
you before.
Just,
I did. You hear me? Saying
you
how
lost
much I
me,
loved it?
And you lost Lisa. I was trying to modify the song so it stopped cutting in and out. And as soon as I touched a button, it kicked both of us out. So, Lisa, are you on the air?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, we can hear you now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no,
Lisa
and I got stuck in the chat room together. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, why don't we just you know.
It was like a
fix this and call back, so.
Well, Lisa,
right.
I was listening to that wonderful song. Are you the drummer on the group? Is that what you are?
I am, yes. I know. It was funny because we never addressed that, and I'm going to go. And I said to myself, people are going to think, wow, that really doesn't sound like us.
Right, and it's funny because, you know, I was thinking, there really doesn't seem to me to be that many women drummers. Am I wrong, or is this right?
No, that's pretty accurate.
Wow.
There's
so that
a handful out there, but.
Wow, and the song was phenomenal, and it has such great energy about it. And, you know, I hadn't really gotten to listen to your songs yet because, of course, Nicole, in her bad management, hasn't sent me a CD.
Well, we're going there. Actually, I'm going to revise that, and I'm going to say Nicole and her bad management has had a CD for Cindy, and Cindy was supposed to come to one of Blue Movie's meet and greets and never got a chance to go.
Oh, okay. But I'll tell you the truth. It blew my mind. I mean, I had no idea the phenomenal energy and quality. I mean, I assumed it was going to be great, but, I mean, that was just, I was like, oh, my God. I think, you know, anybody listening to this show, I think, you know, you're lucky to hear this interview with Lisa because, you know, a year from now, I'm not going to be able to interview Lisa. I'm just going to be like a little, like, I'm just like a little potatoes here. You know what I mean?
I would always do a guest spot. Never a problem.
Okay, are we like, did you forget about me?
No, well, Cindy, one of the things that I absolutely love about that is that right around, now, and Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, right around the time that I actually met my girlfriend, I was still, like, commitment phobic, as everybody knows about me. I was still getting over that whole thing. And then, you know, through everybody just kind of hanging out and everything, you know, Lisa all of a sudden rolls up with a CD when we were all hanging out. And it's like, hey, guys, why don't you guys hear, you know, the rough to the new song? And she played me an excerpt from Murder Will Out, you know. And, like, I got to tell you guys that, like, when I hear that song and I'm like, oh, it made me feel so good because it was like somebody else has been through what I've been through, you know. And we were talking about that earlier in the show where you know, you just have that common point that kind of brings everybody together and where you know that you're not alone in that. And, you know, like, that was just definitely one of those songs that I would, like, whenever I got angry about my last relationship, whenever I got frustrated about my last relationship, and whenever I was just completely going out of my mind, I blasted the little demo that Lisa had given me in my car, where I was just kind of like, screw everything, you know. And
it,
I think that
it was
totally
serving its purpose.
It really was, you know. So I think that totally, you know, just the album overall was great in my own catharsis, even though, you know, I mean, even though I met Lisa after, you know, this was already a project, you know, it was very, very beneficial to me, you know, because, and I think that it can be beneficial to everybody, because sometimes you just need to get that out. That's why every song on the radio is about the one that got away or about how somebody has gotten wronged. You know, it's other people getting their feelings out, and I think that it's absolutely wonderful the way that Blue Movie was able to just all join forces like that and collaborate together and create something that was just completely original and not really like what you hear on the radio.
That was definitely one of the goals.
I want to make sure we get Lisa's website out there. And Lisa, say your name, spell it so people know.
Okay.
It's Blue Movie, and your name.
My name is Lisa, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name is Foerderer. And if you're actually going to approach the website, it's going to be bluemoviemusic.com.
Bluemoviemusic.com,
yeah.
Okay, good.
And we're also on Facebook as well. If you actually go to the website, we're on every social media that there is. We are there. You can find all the icons on the bottom left.
Wow. And that's so wonderful. And I've always felt that music is a time machine. That's why we love it so much. Because we can listen to it, and it brings us either back to a space and time that we felt, or we can listen to it. And, you know, this song, Bring Me a Higher Love, you know, Steve Winwood.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people, everybody resonated with that, but nobody knew what the hell he was talking about when he came out. You know, so, you know, I used to think about that, bring me a higher love.
One of the most amazing things about music and is, you know, you can hear a song and you can listen to the lyrics and you have no idea what the person who wrote it is saying, and yet you find your own meaning for it. And that's what's so, I think, wonderful about music. It's like a universal language. I hear a lot of songs on the radio and I'll go, wow, this is amazing. This is so how I'm feeling right now. I can't believe somebody else got it. And then you'll hear an interview with an artist and it's nothing what you thought, you know. But yet you're like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's a universal language and that's what it means to me.
And it's also so universal that dead people commune through music. So those of you who are missing someone who's passed away and you keep saying, oh, but I never get any signs. When you go and walk in a store and that person's favorite song is playing, that's not a coincidence. They're letting you know they're there. Or if you're thinking about the person and you're in the car and some thought about that person comes up and a song you've never heard before is exactly on that theme, that's synchronicity. That's the dead people communicating through music to us. So the more that we can be, And that's very important, that is a way that the dead do commune. So I can't stress that enough. But anyway, I think we should
Cindy, actually have a funny
story. Funny story.
One second, Sid. I actually have a great story for you regarding everything that you just said and as far as music and everything else. The other day, my girlfriend and I were kind of having a little tiff, okay? And the more that I thought about it, the angrier I was getting, but I was not presently talking to her at that moment. So all of a sudden, I was just like sitting there, and I was actually just sitting in silence. And I was just like, you know, it's bad that I'm sitting in silence, you know? So I was just kind of like, okay, fine, whatever's whatever, and I turn on the radio. All of a sudden, I turn on the radio, and on some arbitrary station that I don't even remember turning on, okay, all of a sudden, one of my relaxation songs happens to be the Beach Boys' Kokomo, okay, and me and my girlfriend were just talking about going on vacation, so all of a sudden, Kokomo comes on, and I literally said out loud, okay, guys, I get it, I'm going to cool off. I kid you not, the person made a left in front of my car as I was at a stoplight. The license plate said Sima Down, SIMADOW.
Oh, my God, that is too funny.
Well, license plates.
I was like, all right, I'm simmering down.
License plates are another way that people that the dead commune to us, or our spirit guides. Now, I've always, you know, someone had once told me you have a guardian angel named Allie. So I'd say, okay, whatever, that's a good name, Allie. So one day I was on the LIE really cursing out God, because I'm quite like the disciples. One minute, you know, Peter was praying and cursing, the next second, you know, that's pretty much me, and pretty much cursing God out for my, you know, how hard my life is and why is this all on my plate? And I said to God, you better not be spiteful and hurt me or anybody I love, just like that. And a car cut me off, and Allie Knows, and it was KNOWS, as if my spirit guide knew that I would have this moment in time and that God's okay with it.
Wow.
That I actually
had
a right to be angry. That, yeah, God gets it. I had a lot on my plate, and only an idiot wouldn't be angry. So, again, that's why I tell the listeners out there, sometimes anger is the right emotion. You know, so get a little angry and demand.
No,
you know,
it's okay. Get angry, feel your feelings, and then let it go.
Right, exactly. And sometimes, yes, simmer down is good. Especially those of, you know, me being half Italian, you know, sometimes Italians really need to learn how to simmer it down a bit. You know. All right, Nicole, we have another caller. Did you screen these calls?
Yes, we are going to go. I actually have not screened any calls because I'm afraid to push any buttons right now.
Oh, that's okay.
So we're going to go straight over to the 412 area code. The last four digits are 7303, and we're going to see whoever's there.
Okay, great.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, this is Cindy, and where are you calling from?
This is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing good, and I bet you have something on your mind to wait to speak with us, and would you like to share it with us?
I had a question about a relationship that I was in.
Okay.
I was just kind of wondering where this was going. Was this going to be like a long-term thing or what?
How long has this relationship been in play? You know, how long have you known this person or been dating this person?
For a little over a year.
Okay. This you're the emotional stronger of the two of you. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's not a lack of this person caring about you so much as, this person has a history of, you know, having relationships that end pretty badly. And did he ever talk to you about these relationships?
Okay.
And, he's a little bit afraid of that, you know, trying to figure out who you are. Are you going to be the princess that's going to become the beast, or are you really the princess? And it almost looks like you have a 10-year period in which God wants to bring you anything you want. But you're almost going to have to look inward and decide, do you want this to go, you know, further? Do you want this to be more committed? Is that what you're looking for?
Somewhat. Sometimes I feel that way, and then sometimes I don't, you know, because I'm going through a year where I found a couple years where I found myself, so I kind of like not let nobody put me in that. You understand, like any
right.
type of commitment, because I needed to know what I wanted. I had bad relationships also, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, and so both of you, you know, he seems like a good man. Do you think he's a good man? These cards look like he's a good man.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah.
you know, he's been hurt, you've been hurt. So the two of you are almost expecting, you know, he's waiting for your beastly side to come out. You're waiting for his beastly side to come out. Pretty much, you know, the two of you, if you wanted it to be more, it could be. But again, you have to sort of lead the way because he's afraid. He's really afraid. And he doesn't want to mess it up. He actually admires you very much. He admires your independence. He admires that, you know, you've been managed to survive without a man. You know, does he tell you this? Because he admires you a lot.
No, but he do other little crazy things. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know.
And again, if you wanted to go further, it could. But, you know, you're just afraid of getting yourself involved in something where you don't trust your judgment. You know, you've had men who have not been who they said they were, you know,
right.
and you believe them. You're a different person. Your judgment's a lot better than it used to be. And,
okay.
you know, he doesn't look like he wants to end this anytime soon, by the way.
He doesn't want to end it.
Anytime
well,
soon.
I try to, you know what I mean? And then sometimes I think, like, I'm just overreacting, but then that's when me, I don't know, not wanting to really be in a commitment comes in, you know what I mean? So I'll
right,
because
you're afraid of commitment. You are afraid of it. Anybody who's been hurt, you know, you didn't start out as a commitment phobic, afraid of love and relationships. It's when we get our heart ripped out, we become sort of a closet commitment phobic. We get afraid of getting hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you guys have a year history behind you, and has he been good to you in this year?
Yeah, I can't say he did nothing major that I could really say that was major. You know, just like minor disagreements or, you know, battle the egos or something like that, but like nothing major, you know.
Right, and he's the person who calls when he says he should, and he's responsible.
Yeah, when he says he's going to call, he does.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Now that you have a little history behind you, you know, trust to see if you could move this closer because, you know, otherwise it could drift just the way it is for like another 5 years or so.
wow.
You know, maybe 4 years, you know, because it's sort of a sideways moving relationship, what I see. It's not really moving forward. Of course, it's not going backwards, which is always good. The worst thing is, the first 3 months, you know, people aren't afraid of love. They come on strong, and they lure us in, and then they start watering it down. They don't want to see us so much. Now they want space, you know, the whole nonsense. Yours is just going sideways. It's not really going forward. It's not going back. It's just sort of, you know, do you want to move it forward now?
It's just there.
It's just there, well, right.
I kind of thought he wanted it to move forward.
He does want it to move forward, but he won't take the lead. You have to take the lead because he's afraid of being hurt. So if you want it to move forward, you know, you have to be the leader, and he will certainly follow, you know. And he does talk very nicely about you to other people, by the way.
He does?
Yes, he does.
I thought he would tell them bad.
No, actually, he's pretty much proud of you, so... You know, try to, you know, this is a good relationship. Could it be a great one? Yes. Could it go the other way? Yeah, if the two of you let it. You know, any relationship has the ability to really go bad if we don't work on it each and every day.
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, if you picture love like a stock, when we're acting heart, soul, mind, body, committed to each other, committed to healing, your stock's worth $1 million. Does he love you?
Yeah.
He appears to love you. Do you love him?
Yeah, I guess.
And in a year you haven't said the words? What is this, Nicole?
No, we
I'm
don't say
to...
that. Like, that's like the forbidden word. Like, somebody will run out the room. Somebody say that.
No, love is a good word. You know, speaking to dead people, the worst part about it is that they have a lot of regret that they didn't tell people how much they love them while they had the chance. So I'll tell you this much. If you love somebody, tell them why you have the chance. It's
okay.
Like one of it. So, you know, see where it happens when you tell them that you love him. If he runs, isn't it better to know somebody's going to run now than 5 years from now? Okay. If you're going to run, run now. You know, this is your chance. Go run. Otherwise, you know, you if you're ready for a
committee. I don't even know how I would, like, say that. So I don't know. I don't know.
Is it so hard to say the words I love you? They're the best words. They really they have a certain DNA that goes into our body, and it's very healing. The more
we
hear those.
I think we'll kind of show each other like a song or something. Like
music, yes.
That's our way of communicating. Now, somebody just to come on and say, I love you. I don't know. You know, I don't really know how either one of us would do that because we're trying to, it's like we're trying to act like both of us is not there. You know, I don't know.
I know, because you're both scared. But again, here I'm glad to hear that you use music as the universal language, which was really pretty much a theme of tonight's
how
show.
How perfect to have Lisa with us tonight.
Right.
Let us know what happens. Call us back in the near future and let us know if you actually uttered the words, I love you.
Okay. All right. All
good
right.
Luck
thank
to you in
you.
Pennsylvania. You're welcome. Now, Nicole, that sounded a little like you when you were having trouble saying the L word. Now with your soulmate, do you say those words frequently?
Yes, I do. I try to say those words as often as possible. And even though I said that we were tiffing, you know, before, even when we're tiffing, you know, I still make sure that whenever I leave that house, that the last words that she hears from me are, I love you, because, you know, the way that I see it is that whether, you know, we're tiffing or whether everything is absolutely, you know, in heaven, you know, I always want those last words to be, you know, how I feel. And, you know, regardless of any kind of anger or anything else, you know, I love you is really what it all comes down to. And I love you is what, you know, I try to say as often as possible, what I try to show as often as possible.
Wow. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I want to pick up TJ for a minute, and then we're going to have Lisa sign off for us, too. Hi, TJ. What's happening in your world?
I'm sitting here laying in the boat. I love you. I love you a lot. I love you every day, every night. Everything I see wonderful makes me realize how much I love you.
Now that's my
tell you every morning and every night.
Yes, he does. And of course, I think that's appropriate because we were just trying to get people to realize you got to say those words. They're so important. Well,
but anyway, I'm going to let you go, but I just want to let you know this because this is so important for on the show. But I'm actually laying completely extended on the sailboat. So when we sleep here, we can both be fully extended without any
crunching.
Oh,
it's a little bigger boat than the last one, obviously.
It's smaller, but it's bigger inside. Anyway, you're a great chart. Listen to the beginning, and then I had to do some things here, and then I picked up the very end. And, Nicole, you always do that wonderful job, and you have to use the L word. And so, Cindy, I'm going to say I love you, and I'll see you a little bit later tonight.
Okay, thank you. I love you back. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So, anyway, Lisa, can you give us your website again?
Sure. It's www.bluemoviemusic.com.
Okay. And, Nicole, you think we should end by playing a little bit more of the song?
You know what? I'm going to try to play it again and you know, see if we get a little bit less interference. I actually lowered
that's
the volume on it significantly. So we're going to see if maybe that helps out. So, guys, in the last 2 minutes, here is Murder Will Out from Blue Movie. And, Lisa, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
What a wonderful guest, and thanks for sharing your view on love and music for us. Have
anytime.
A great week, and we'll see you next week. And listen to Murder Will Out.